want you to go with me over to 1 Corinthians for just a moment and just read the passage pertaining to spiritual gifts. And we'll spend a little time in that chapter today. I'm reading this to you from the NIV 87 version. Verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So where do these manifestations come from? They come from the Spirit. Say, thank God. And it says they're there for the common good. They come to each of us for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of the word of wisdom, to another the message of the word of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. And all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now, there's an awful lot of teaching there that needs to be emphasized. But for this morning, understand, they're the work of whom? They're not the work of the devil. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And if you don't understand, or somebody that you've been exposed to spiritually doesn't understand, it's best to keep your mouth shut about the work of the Holy Ghost. You do not want to be on the verge of committing blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So if you don't know, just kind of be quiet. Can I have a good amen?
Amen.
And he mentions here the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Every born-again, Spirit-filled believer should expect to see the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in their life. He is no respecter of persons when it comes to gifts, but he does respect faith. And listen carefully, he also respects desire. If you sit here today and somehow you feel prompting in your heart to get involved in what God is trying to do, all the signs, all the wonders, all the miracles, all the things that he desires to do in this earth, in these last days, it comes through the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And you should want to be a part of that. But look, regardless of that, if you don't want any part of that supernatural dimension, you don't want any part of being used by God, you know, not much is going to happen. And some Christians are perfectly content just getting saved, you know, sitting on the sidelines, you know, going to potluck dinners. Can I have an amen? Wait until Jesus comes back. But there's a growing number of people in this nation that can't wait for God to use them. I hope I'm in that crowd today. You want God to use you in these things. And so we've understood, according to John 14, 12, and greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. Now, he goes to the Father. The Spirit of God comes down. Now, that Spirit upon billions has the impact, you know, that he just, as one person physically moving around, cannot have. And that's what that means. He started it all. He's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He's the one that's commissioned the ministry. And every believer should want to be a part of this supernatural end time ministry and harvest. Going to have an amen. Now, when we talk about the gifts, we talk about them in three general categories, just by way of review for you. And there's a lot of material in the past several sessions. We've talked about the Spirit of God. We've talked about the love factor. And we've talked about the gifts a little last week. But there are three categories of gifts. And the first category is what we call the revelation gifts. They reveal something. They reveal either a word of knowledge, a piece of God's knowledge. And how many know God's knowledge is vast? A word of wisdom, God telling you some action to take in reference to his will and his purpose and his plan. And then discerning of spirits, which is where you're able to determine the source of an utterance, a manifestation, a happening. And you know, some people don't understand this, but even people that that seem to be doing something can be doing it in the wrong and by the wrong spirit. As a child of God, you got to be aware of it. I remember as a baby Christian, people talking about one day there'll be holographic technology through linking of satellites, that they could show one-third of the earth a false coming of the Messiah. Do you know that technology exists today? What would you think if you saw it? Would you be prepared to discern between the real and the fake? All the devil can do is counterfeit. He isn't authentic. He is not a creative force. Amen. He's a copycat for his own destructive purposes. You need to know. You need to know that an utterance, a happening, an occurrence, a manifestation, you need to know whether that came from the Holy Spirit, a demonic spirit, or the human spirit. And how many know sometimes people can act up and look all religious and God's not within a million miles of that? You need to know these things. And so with the word of knowledge, as we talked about last week, God gives you a piece of information you couldn't possibly know. A word of wisdom, something to do that you wouldn't know or couldn't know to do at that moment. And if you do it, there, of course, is breakthrough. In the doing of what he says, there's great breakthrough. I'll never forget that I was taking my sister back to Lambert Field in St. Louis. And I've told this story before, but I was just sitting there on the sidelines waiting for her to check in. And all of a sudden, she taps on the shoulder of the man in front of her. And he turns around like, lady, what do you want? I'm in no mood for this. And she looks at him and says, the Spirit of God tells me that you're a drug addict and the Lord will set you free if you'll turn to him. How many know you probably better be right about that before you say something like that? And I'm not really walking in these things. I don't have any reference point, but I'm just watching this grown man burst into tears in the middle of the airport, acknowledging he had problems, and she was able to pray for him. Amen. Everybody say word of knowledge. These are powerful things. Sometimes you don't know. You need to know the Spirit of God to reveal it to you. You don't know what to do. He'll reveal it to you. You don't know where something's coming from. He'll reveal it to you. Look at somebody and smile and say, those are the gifts of revelation. Then there are the power gifts. They actually do something. The gift of faith and the working of miracles and the gift of healings. We'll talk more of that in a moment. But there is something that happens, not just something that you receive or that's revealed, but something happens in and through your life. Then there are the vocal gifts. They say something. This morning you saw and heard and partook of a tongues and an interpretation. There's also prophecy, which is when someone speaks directly from the Spirit of God in the native tongue of the listener. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Now, obviously, if these things were listed in Scripture, then they must be important. The child of God who wants to honor God doesn't say, I know it's in there, but I have nothing to do with it. No, you should have everything to do. If it's here, it's here for a reason. And not only do you need it, people need it through you. Say it with me. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you just to see this as we move forward, understanding these manifestations. Looking down at verse 28 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Now, you are Christ's body and individually parts of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, of helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. All apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All teachers, are they? Are all not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. Now, the first thing you have to understand is that everything in that list has to do with church-based, church-revealed, church-manifested gifts. Some of those are leadership, some of those are service, and some of those are manifestational gifts we just talked about. It's important today that you separate in your mind what happens when a person's baptized in the Holy Spirit. They receive the gift of tongues as a prayer language. Separate that from these verbal and vocal gifts listed here, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Because your prayer language is primarily for who? For you. And I'll tell you this, that and several people that God uses in the area of tongues, it never ceases to amaze me that I hear dozens of tongues coming out of them. Different tongues. Why? Because it's not always going to be their prayer language that you hear for the church as a whole. So say that with me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is different from the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 30. And people will use that scripture. Well, see, they're not all speaking in tongues. You're missing the point. In Acts 2, they did. Amen. In Acts 8, 9, and 10, and Acts 19, we see the same model. When someone's baptized in the Holy Spirit, what do they do? My hermeneutic class, what do they do? They speak in tongues. But it's different when you're in the church today. And God comes on our sister with a tongue and then somebody else with the interpretation. How many thank God for a Holy Ghost church? I said, how many thank God for a Holy Ghost church? Some of you are saying the jury's still out on that. I don't know about that stuff. Well, that stuff is life-changing. If you have the attitude to actually receive it. Are you here today? So say it with me. Gifts of revelation. Gifts of action. Gifts of what? That are verbal, that vocalize, that actually say something. It's important for you to receive what the word is. Now, before I go any further in this, I just wanted to point out that no prophecy, no tongue with an interpretation will ever equal the authority of Scripture, ever. That said, a child of God should recognize if the Holy Spirit broke into our service, there was a reason for it. And they're there for our edification, exhortation, instruction. They all build up. And of course, that one certainly did. I don't know about you, but I want to heed it. I want more of His presence because I know what will happen if I have more of His presence. The tongue interpretation obviously should line up with the Word of God, but it will never be equal to or exalt itself over the Word of God. The Word of God is first place and final authority, and that should be settled in your heart today. But the bottom line is you and I should be operating in one or more of these.
Amen.
And it's possible that you have and didn't even recognize that you were. Amen? Let's move on real quickly on this. I want to deal first of all with a little more detail with the reality that you can't really, the best way to put this is either understand or flow in these until you've been born again, until you've encountered the Holy Ghost in some form or fashion. Now, God is God, and He can do what He wants to do. And some people, when they get born again, are naturally more spiritually sensitive than others. But once everyone is baptized in the Holy Spirit, you should be able to operate in these. And you can't explain these. You can't teach these until you've been able to walk in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Because there's a cloud there. There's a veil there of understanding. And those of us that were raised not in the charismatic circle, we never were able to look through a charismatic lens because we didn't have a reference point. I remember growing up in my Lutheran church, everybody said, God bless the Lutherans. Pastor, how come you say God bless the Lutherans and God bless the Baptists? Because I don't want you to think that I'm picking on anybody, and I genuinely want God to bless them. Because we're not the only thing in town. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? At the same time, we weren't taught these things. When there was a scripture like that show up in the reading, there was no exposition. There was no teaching. We just left like, okay, I guess that's the way it is. Other things would be expounded upon, but not the things of the Spirit. Does that make sense? I remember Brother Osteen talking about in his church in Baytown, Texas, First Baptist, I believe it was. Everybody say, God bless the Baptist.
God bless the Baptist.
You realize a lot of people wouldn't get saved had it not been for the Baptist. Amen. Do you know that the Baptists and Pentecostals have a lot in common? They both like chicken dinners. Absolutely. Amen. You have no idea how many chickens have given up their life for the Lord in Baptist and Pentecostal churches. But, he was seminary trained. He did everything he was supposed to do that was expected of him. And he got up one day and he read that scripture and he began to say, I'm going to now teach you about these gifts of the Spirit. And he said, now that gift of tongues is, what our good Baptists learn in terms of speaking the language of the mission field that's out there. Our interpreters are those that go out there and they actually translate the Word of God. He said, gifts of healing, that's what our good Baptist doctors do. And he said, when it comes to, to do signs and wonders and miracles, like getting somebody delivered, that's what our good Baptist psychiatrists would do. And all of a sudden, he looked up from his lectern and he closed his Bible and he said, Church, I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And you can't until you've walked in the fullness, the baptism, and the operation of the gifts. It's not about us. It's about what God does. Now, you understand this. Comparison and metaphor here. Just because you rode Space Mountain doesn't mean you understand space travel. Can I have an amen? You watched all the Star Trek episodes and incarnations and all of the Star Wars incarnations, but that does not mean you know space travel. You can say, beam me up, Scotty, all day long, and it doesn't mean you know a thing. When Timothy was 5 or 6, we took our first trip to Disney World. It was wonderful. We had a ball, had a blast. And I said, Timothy, you want to ride Space Mountain? We got close to Space Mountain. You want to ride Space Mountain? Yeah, let's do it. So we finally get in line. We go up the line, and we're about to get in one of the little cars, you know. And he's in front of me. And he's like, Dad, hold on to me. Hold on to me. And so I did the best I could from the rear seat, you know, trying to hold on to this kid. And it was all in the dark, you know, stuff like that. And all of a sudden, we go up, and I could hear him. He's not enjoying this very much. We get done with the ride and step off, and he's looking kind of white as a ghost. And he doesn't say anything. And we're about to walk out the entrance there. We go out and he goes, Dad, I almost pooped and peed. Now you know why I said don't. Don't, Dad. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that he and I were not space experts. But boy, if you spent time on the space program in the shuttle, you landed on the moon, or you're involved in the space station right now, that rescue effort, you know something about space travel. And it's the same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. Just because you see them in the Bible, just because somebody tried to explain in the carnality of their mind, that doesn't mean anything. That's why this is so important. The tendency for churches today is to talk about the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit and pray for people to receive the baptism in a side room somewhere, you know, Sunday night or Wednesday night or in some small group. I'm telling you now, the Sunday morning crowd in America needs the Holy Ghost more than they've never needed him before. And we've got to make sure that you understand what this is all about. Say, he's no respecter of persons. He does respect faith, and he respects desire. And one of the things that happens when you're under the Word of God and there's anointing there, what happens is your heart gets struck with the reality of redemption, the reality of the things of God, and it should birth the desire in you. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Wilma and Barb cannot be the official Holy Ghosters in the church. God desires to use every one of us. Amen? Are we okay, Timothy? We'll talk. Now, dealing with the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and discerning spirits a little bit last week, I just want to move on to the gift of faith today. And what happens is, in the gift of faith, you have the instantaneous, ability to believe anything. It just comes on you, and now that maybe you had doubts before, and this really isn't even faith that comes by hearing or faith that comes by praying in the Holy Ghost. This is what a gift. It's dropped into your spirit. Now you can believe that person can be raised from dead. You believe that person can be supernaturally healed. You believe that person can have something supernatural happen. You believe that whatever goes on, God's going to protect you and deliver you, set you free, whatever's necessary. It comes on you by the Spirit of God. And there are a lot of people of God that operate in this. And that's not to say you shouldn't be cultivating your faith and just depending on a gift of faith, because that may not be the Spirit's will to give you the gift of faith. But everybody can cultivate their faith generally by hearing the Word of God. Everybody say, thank God. Amen. In other words, to instantly an ability to believe the unbelievable. And how many of you think, that alone is an act of grace and mercy on God's part. To not depend on Christians and whether they're actually cultivating their faith or not, but he just drops it into your heart. I experienced this as a pastor over in Hopkinsville. I've also shared this with you, but to see and look back in life how God has changed lives because of the gifts of the Spirit is a marvel and a wonder. And this little boy, John Ricker, was just a baby. He was about a little younger than Andrew is right now. Everybody say, God bless Andrew. Double A. Pop Pop is his favorite, for the record. You know what my wife's been doing? Slipping secret snacks and treats to the grandkids. I know what's going on. And they're, you know, a part of the church and a solid family involved in the church. And I get a call one afternoon that this kid's spiky in 106 degree temperature. And they can't do anything. They tried everything to get this kid's temperature down. Now, when you're that high, you don't have a lot of time to meander. I mean, you're talking about serious, serious complications, death, etc. So would you come over and pray for him? I said, I'd be glad to. And you know, throughout that day, I've been really seeking God, praying in the Holy Ghost and believing God for some other things. But I went over there and I walked into the room and this kid is just screaming at the top of his lungs. Doctors can't do anything. Nurses can't do anything. His own parents, his grandparents can't calm him down. And I walked into the room and I pulled him out of that little, whatever they call those things, a smaller bed, you know, I put him up just like that. And instantly when I picked him up, he stopped crying. And all I did was rebuke that fever like I remember Jesus doing with Peter's mother-in-law. He instantly just looked at me and just began to settle down. I handed it back to his mother. And within like 5 to 10 minutes, his temperature was normalized and he was healed and whole and sound. And all I can tell you is I didn't have time to muster anything up. You'll see that the gifts, especially the power gifts, will flow in tandem like that. You see this in operation. And all I can say is, young man grew up, you know, served our country honorably in the military. And thank God the Lord intervened and spared his life. You know, when the doctors don't know what to do and the nurses don't know what to do or mom and dad don't know what to do, the Holy Ghost knows what to do. And you and I have to be sensitive to that. Does that make sense? So you don't have to get some PhD in the Holy Ghost to operate in these things. All you have to do is be available to him. And sometimes when he calls, people hang up on him. That's the truth. Amen. Everybody say, thank God for the gift of faith. The gift of working in miracles, the suspension of natural laws or events. They defy nature. When you see Peter walking on the water, that's not just happening. That is an operation of supernatural events. When the sun stood still, when Joshua fought on the battlefield, that was an example of the suspension of natural laws, physical laws. When Moses stretched out that staff and God parted the Red Sea, that was a demonstration of suspension of natural laws. How many know that sea walls don't normally stand up by themselves unless there's barriers there? And yet it's all true. And you know what? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Years ago, tribe of Judah had an event out in a state park somewhere, and they had just enough food, you know, for their crew. And they put all this stuff in a pot, like in a soup pot over an open flame like you do in, you know, the old West times. And they ate from that thing. And all of a sudden, people started coming in from everywhere. Recreational bikers, I believe it was, some old outlaw bikers came in there, you know, and they're joining the group. They're joining the group, and they're eating, and they're eating, and they're eating. You know what happened to that pot? Nothing. That pot never went down. You say, well, I don't believe that stuff. I believe it. I'm a believer. Amen. Amen. And if you get your belief system right, maybe your pot wouldn't go down. He still does miracles. My mom had an employee in the YMCA, and I worked directly with her, and she was living an alternate lifestyle and just out of her head on drugs. And for some reason, she decides to come over at our house about 2 o'clock in the morning, I believe it was. And, you know, I guess she was going to do something, you know, to mom. She's going to make a point. And all I remember is this big, huge woman compared to mom. How many of you know that Tiny Tim is bigger than mom? But she's big, big and strong and burly. I mean, she served as a bouncer at one time, I believe. And so all I remember is something about Jesus being spoken And this woman being pinned against the bedroom wall couldn't move. Look at Tobias Vaughn and say, he still does miracles. Come on, shout it like you believe it. He still does miracles. She finally let her go. But that's your God. Say, that's my God. Say, that's my God. Amen. Part of the problem is you and I are exposed to things, and people do their best theologically, you know, to deal with these things, and relatives do their best theologically to deal with these things. But sometimes you can get something sown into your life that can block you from believing what you should believe. I believe there's a bunch of workers of miracles in this room.
Yes, there is.
You should be believing that, confessing that, asking the Holy Spirit to use you in that regard, and then do what He tells you to do. You know, until God's people receive the instruction to do what God tells them to do, you know, Red Seas aren't parted. Axe heads don't float. Pots of meal don't go, you know, don't stay up. That's the way it is. I mean, I've heard some fruity and flaky things too growing up. I remember that mom's sisters were around the house, particularly Ginger. She was the youngest. And with Ginger, I could absolutely do no wrong. And so I was just interacting with her as one of my aunts, and she was always my favorite aunt as well. And I was about 3 years old, and she looked at me, and she goes, "Now look, if you blow on my thumb, I'll have a baby." And so I blew on her thumb. A few months later, she had a baby. And I was fine after 2 or 3 years of therapy. The things we're taught as kids have a way of seeping into our adulthood. And things that pertain to eternity can really mess us up. This lady was just very, very unique. When I finally did her funeral, she had a strong bout with brain cancer. I walked into the funeral home, and there were Christmas trees everywhere. You would have loved it. Everywhere. And I thought, this is really unique. How long did it take you all to do this? Well, she loved Christmas and she loved Christmas trees. And that's what she wanted to see. And she wanted it to be a celebration. This lady had planned for them to play Black Eyed Peas at the end of the ceremony. And everybody in the funeral home was raising the roof. That's just never happened around here at a funeral. Amen. Look, it matters what you're subjected to. And if you've been subjected to some erroneous things, you just have to admit that and say, you know what? I set it over here. I don't have to go on a rant and a rave and attack people. Just set it over here and then move on with God. Could have an amen. Today, when people find something they don't agree with, they have to attack everybody. That's what infants do. Mature Christians don't do that. Could have an amen. We see in Acts chapter 8, Philip, who was a faithful deacon, raised up in the anointing of the Holy Ghost to preach Christ, and great miracles happened, great healings, great deliverances, demons with shrieks left. God noted the miraculous there. We understand that God is still doing that. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You see it throughout the Word of God where it doesn't make any sense what God is doing. Go over to Acts chapter 20 just as an example in this one. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Verse 7, chapter 20. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. Now, y'all got to cut me some slack here. I ain't never kept y'all till midnight. Better say amen or I might change my mind. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting, and seated in the window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. Let me just see if anybody else is Eutychus-like today. He who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. I have never, ever preached anybody to death. I don't care what they say. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him and said, "Ain't nobody dying during my preaching, bless God." No, he says, "Don't be alarmed. He's alive." Then he went upstairs again, broke bread and ate. After talking till daylight, he left. The people took the young man home. It was greatly comforted. You know, that's a long sermon. In our church growing up in the Lutheran church, everybody say, "God bless the Lutherans." It was 10 or 11 minutes. I finally saw some emotion on some of your faces. Yeah. I can't even get through the pleasantries in 10 minutes, let alone. Now, when you read this, you get the idea that there's a whole lot more to solid biblical teaching than just getting in and getting out as fast as you can and beating everybody down to the buffet. But I want you to see here that what God did there, he is still doing. I said, he's still doing it, church. I said, he's still doing it, church. You need to be the people that believe in the miracle, wonder, working power of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's Lord our God, and he changes not. Aren't you glad for that? It's his word that says we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge, not because God has changed. Amen. And I guess it's only fair if you preach him to death that you raise him back to life. I was preaching there on a Wednesday night, a new series on the miracle capital of the world. And Sharon's husband decides to die in the middle of my service. I'm warning you all right now. If you die in my service in the future, I'm going to raise you from the dead and kill you again myself. Don't do it. I mean, it is a service destroyer. But that particular night, a lot of things happened converging what I call the miraculous. First, the people are already being taught and geared up for this and ready for this, prayed up in the Holy Ghost, and a combination of health workers here that are never all here at the same time. And that's not because they're unfaithful. It's because work schedules and obligations and whatnot, but they happen to be there. But I am telling you that when he went down on the floor, The church went into action praying in the Holy Ghost. And boy, if you don't like tongues, you would not have liked that service. I mean, they're praying in the Holy Ghost. Medical professionals came over there, you know, performed and worked on him. Everybody say, "God bless Carolyn Tinsley, Bill Burnett, and Jackie Milo." And there were others that were there as helping as well. They did what they did in the natural. The church was doing what it's supposed to do in the supernatural. And we're down here praying in the altar after the emergency tech came in to get him. And within 30 minutes, he was sitting up in the emergency room, completely whole and sound and well. That's your God that did that. Yeah. Amen. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's still doing the miraculous right in front of us. That shouldn't diminish you. That should encourage you. If he did it once, he can do it again. Amen. Years and years ago, you guys will remember a man by the name of Milton Lefevre. He wrote a song at 15 years old that Elvis turned into a multi-gold song. He sang with his family, Lefevre's, and drifted away from the things of God into secular rock music. He got born again, turned on. He used to travel around doing music with his band Broken Heart, and his good friend Ben Priest would come and preach the Word of God. Coming out of an outlaw biker road, he had something to say to that generation, and they'd preach, and they'd minister, and thousands of young people would come to Christ. It was an amazing partnership and things that they did. But when he was, I believe it was his late 40s, he was given a terminal diagnosis with his heart. And he just began to just ask God, you know, and seek God, you know, I want to serve you now, whatever it is you have for me, I want to do it. And he's walking along the beach. He's sitting on the beach actually one day, and all of a sudden he sees this lady walking by, doesn't know him from Adam, goes past him 20, 25 yards, then walks right back to where he was, stood right in his face, pointed her finger in his face, and said, "You will not die, but you will live. You will have a new heart, and you will teach the uncompromised word of God." And they spun around and they walked away. He went back to the doctor, and he had what the doctor described as a young man's heart. He went on to be with Jesus last year of cancer, had nothing to do with his heart, but I think it was like 30-something years additional to his life to serve God. And the woman who pointed her finger at him and walked down the beach was a woman named Gloria Copeland. So if you women out there don't think God can use you, then stop letting the devil lie to you. And if men, you're such a spiritual chauvinist, you don't think that God can use women, you need to read the Bible. Because there was no man that day, but there was a woman full of the Holy Ghost who could listen, receive a word of instruction, and a miracle was performed. I know it was a miracle. We invited him to our church in Hopkinsville, Westview Assembly. Advertised it, you know, we advertised to people that knew him as broken heart, that knew him as a rock band, that knew him as a gospel singer, that knew him as a writer, a professional writer, and the place was packed out from stem to stern. And that man, speaking of Paul and Eutychus, preached for over 2 hours. I don't, and I don't preach all night, hallelujah. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Signs and wonders. Miracles. Healings. He never ceases to amaze if we just believe what he said in his word. Say this to me. Working in miracles is real, and it's for today. Is there anybody here that believes that the gifts of healing are for today? I said, is there anybody here that still believes in the gifts of healing? No. James and John going up to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer. And they see this man lame. And that's all he's ever known is nothing but sickness and disease. In his condition, he could not participate in the spiritual worship of God. He did not have fellowship like he could. He could not work a job. He had no means. And that's where he was, allowed legally to beg there. The contrast between this man's condition and the gate that he sat by and all of its ornamentation and beauty is a stark contrast. For those of you who still think that God wants his people broke, you know, poor, broke, busted, and disgusted, you don't know your God. And you don't want to go to heaven. If you get offended at extravagance, don't go to heaven. You'll never make it past the gate. This man had absolutely nothing. And so when they stopped, he suggested in his own heart they were going to give him some money. And Peter told him, silver and gold have I none. No question about whatever he did have was consecrated and dedicated already. That's a lesson to us all. But he said, but what I do have, I give to you. Rise and be healed. And the man stood up, ankles were strengthened, jumping, leaping, praising God. Restored. That's your God. I said, that's your God. Come on, say, that's my God. And if God can use them, he can use you. He is the same. The Spirit of God operates the same today at Hope Harbor Church as he did in the day of Peter and John. It's no different. I have had occasion where God has used me in that particular area, and I know people in this church that God has used them proficiently in that. And I've been in the front row to see a lot of wild and wonderful things happen. Don't you ever give up praying for people. Don't you ever quit believing God. There's enough people that don't believe in the body of Christ. There's enough people in the world that right people love. If they're still breathing, continue to pray. And even if they stop breathing, you continue to press in and believe God. Because it's real. It's true. You know, Everybody in my family, of course, we miss my dad, tremendous man of great integrity. The things that he had to put up with in some of his job situations. But when I was in high school, we had a terrible diagnosis given to us. And I just tell this to you because that's the same God. It's the same Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
It's around 1980. Doctor comes in after our family doctor decided he didn't know what this was, but he knew that it was all connected. Eye problems, joint problems, rash everywhere, fatigue, all kinds of things going on. And, you know, usually they'll just try to treat each one of those separately. But Dr. McElhaney, who's retired now, knew in his heart that these were connected and he needed to see somebody who might be able to put all the dots together. So they sent him to Barnes Hospital and they did some x-rays and tests and they found out that he had a mass in the lower left lobe of his lung and it had to come out. I'll never forget him walking in that room and saying these words, you know, it's either the most aggressive form of lung cancer that we know about, or it's a disease called Wagner's disease. I'm like, what in the world is that? He said it's a little known disease. 11 people in the world have it. 9 are dead. 10's dying in Brazil. And you would be the 11th. What's the prognosis? Death. That's the prognosis. How many know a 50-50 chance like that is pretty bad? So he comes out after removing the lower lobe and says it's been diagnosed. It's Wagner's disease. But all over the country, inside the family, outside the family, people prayed for him. And that disease never flared up like that. He never developed any more tumors. And he didn't die of Wagner's disease when he went home to be with the Lord. The Lord healed him and restored him, and he's doing the same thing now. Well, why didn't he keep him alive forever? Everybody's going to die. The key is to die when God says, amen, you've lived out your purpose. So to fulfill every assignment that you have. Yes. Amen? Yes. Besides that, they needed another good golfer in heaven. They got tired of playing with Moses and Jesus. Moses would hit it in the water and he would just part the water and go out there and get the ball. Got tired of playing with Jesus and Jesus hit the ball in the water. He's walk on water. This man was 86 years old when I took him out for golf last time we played. And Miller Golf Course, which is not a course that's easy for seniors or for anybody for that matter, he hit 7 of the fairways, hit on the green on the par 3, and beat me again. He had one eye, bilateral hip replacement, and an ankle that didn't work. 86 years old, folks, that was embarrassing. Am I getting beat by Tim? But but a couple years ago, he was promoted. He's with Jesus now. Amen. Amen. And heaven got richer. And all I'm telling you is, yeah, well, what's the point of believing God? Because you have an assignment on this earth. You need to live long and strong, live out your days until God is done with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? This idea that God just took this one home and took that one home. I'm telling you, he has a purpose for every person's life. And he would not talk about long life. He didn't want you to pursue long life because somebody out there needs what you have. Amen. So I'm a believer in faith. I'm a believer in miracles. I'm a believer in healing in Jesus' name. Are you one of those?
Yes.
Are you one of those?
Yes.
I have spent a lot of time, especially as this happens in church, much more time talking to you about these vocal gifts. I just want to make a couple of comments for you and then encourage you on how to actually pursue a life where you flow in the Holy Ghost. But let me just say this. When it comes to the gift of tongues, again, it's separate from your prayer language, but important. But according to Paul's teaching and theology, it has to be done decently in order. You don't do it while the word's being preached. You don't do it in a way that's out of order. You don't do it because your flesh feels a prompting. And sometimes when there's silence in the church, that's what God's wanting to do, is silence in the church. They'll feel no need to step up and fill the gap. Sometimes he just wants people to listen directly from the Holy Ghost. But it's very, very real. And you say, well, how will I know? You'll feel the presence of God come all over you. Your heart will start beating. You just know in your heart that you're supposed to give a vocal tongue. And the only reason you wouldn't do it is because you let fear get a hold of you. Amen. We stopped stoning people years ago for stepping out of order. There's a few bodies buried back there in the back, but don't tell anybody. Bad reputation for the church. We just don't do that. So there's no reason for you to be afraid. The gift of interpretation is whereby the Spirit of God, you are able to interpret what that person just gave. And the interpreter should pray to interpret. And the speaker should not speak unless they're aware there is someone in the house that can interpret. But guess what? God is able to use you to give in English the interpretation of what was said in tongues for the edification of the church. It's real. You know, pastors banish this stuff and preach against it. And I really don't know why. Because I'll tell you this, when the tongue itself goes forth, there is an anointing and a power released that if you have ears to hear and a spirit to receive, there's a power there to enjoy and receive and benefit from. And then there's an edification from the interpretation. The tongue should only be, amen, going forth, followed by an interpretation in the church meeting itself. When you're by yourself, pray in your spiritual language all you want to. When you're in a prayer meeting, pray in your spiritual language all you want to. Amen. When the service is going on, pray quietly to yourself and to God. Look at somebody and tell them, that way the preacher won't preach you to death. Preach you to life. Hallelujah. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Sit again and say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Prophecy is where the Spirit of God comes on you and you're speaking in real time the mind of God to that particular group in their native tongue. Our native tongue, Kentucky. Obviously in English. And there's no tongue necessary. You're just going forth and bringing that out. And, you know, these things, of course, have to line up with Scripture. They have to be done in order, and they have to be done for the purpose ascribed by the Word of God to edify, instruct, and encourage, not tear down. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
They're important. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost and all His gifts. How important is it that we receive His knowledge, His wisdom, His discernment? How important is it that we operate by His faith and operate by the miracle-working power of God and have people healed by God? Everything you see Jesus doing and the apostles doing, they did it through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's how it functions. That's how they work. We just haven't always been able to identify them for lack of knowledge, for lack of teaching. But the same way they operated, He's calling you and me to operate. And because it's by the Holy Ghost, no one can say, well, I could never see myself doing that. Oh, yeah, you can. You're the very person God's looking for. The most backward, shy, least likely to operate in these things. Thank you for signing up. Amen. Don't be surprised when you're drafted. Amen. The prophetic can be forth-telling, meaning that it's speaking forth the mind of God in real time. And it can be directed towards individuals, families, the church. I can tell you that through ministry for years, God has instantly set people free with a prophetic word. There's a deliverance nature to this that everybody ought to want to see people go free. Say this to me, I want to see him go free. And sometimes just hearing those words in the prayer time, you know, coming to an altar, and I'll lay hands on people and an unction will come up out of my spirit. And one thing I resolved years ago, when I sense he's trying to use me in some kind of a vocal gift, I'm not going to suppress him. Not trying to impress anybody. I'm not going to manufacture something, but I'm not going to shut up either. I'm not responsible for the content of the Holy Ghost utterance in terms of who gave that and what it's supposed to be. Yes, I need to, you know, think about its integrity and think about its order. But the reality is people are set free. You could see it. I've seen other people in this church give prophetic utterance to the whole congregation. And you can see faces. You can see literally chains falling off of their life because of those powerful anointed words. Amen. How sad is it that people would teach and believe these things have passed away? Again, you know why? Because they've been to Space Mountain, but they've never been to space. And they would have probably wet and soiled their britches too if they floated in these things. Because what I call a pneumophobia or fear of the Spirit of God and the movements, that's really what's behind all of that. And fear of losing control. Fear of wildfire. Wildfire. You just love wildfire. No, we just want some fire. Yeah. Amen. There are a lot of churches that can't even flick their bick. Complaining about wildfire. No, that'd be a good problem to have. In the house of God. Amen. So how do you, you know, in the future, there'll be seminars and classes on the gifts. And if you want to go deeper and deeper in these things, I encourage you to take them because that's how you learn. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But this is in a greater context of the lens you should be looking through in the charismatic lens. And I could not talk about the gifts in the charismatic lens. It's not possible. But how do you personally flow in them? Well, write this down. Number one, you need to ask. Ask that He would use you. Ask the Spirit of God and tell Him you are available for any of them. Are you available, church?
Yes.
Ask. That means you desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14, 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Say it with me. I eagerly desire. Eagerly desire. Now, if you don't ask because you don't desire, you can't expect God to do something in you or through you. You know, I've been on Space Mountain. But how many know if you go to space, you're going to say, wow, that was amazing. That's what some of you have been doing spiritually. God wants to take you to new levels, new atmospheres, and the things of the Spirit. But you really won't know how great it is until you step over and do it. To see somebody's life change forever because you obeyed God. Amen. You ask. One of the things you do when you're asking is pray profusely in the Holy Ghost. As you do that, something is happening. It's causing a desire to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. I know no one who prays profusely in the Spirit of God where they don't have a desire for God to use them. They understand He gives severally as He wills. But how many know He wills? Yes, He does. When you do this, you're going to have an unction. There's going to be a prompting at some point in time. And maybe sitting in a ballpark, and maybe sitting in your living room, and maybe on the telephone with somebody, and maybe in a shopping center, maybe somewhere in a department store or some restaurant, you have a prompting and an urging. Like Brother Osteen always taught, obey those urgings. But they're never going to come if you haven't asked. I don't ever have that, Pastor. Are you asking? Are you boldly asking the Holy Ghost to use you in the gifts of the Spirit? Well, no, Pastor, I never even heard it that way. Well, you're hearing it now. You have not because you ask not. Well, I'm not comfortable praying to the Holy Spirit or praising the Holy Spirit. You ought to be comfortable. The Holy Spirit is God. He is the Spirit of Christ. And when you do pray in the Holy Ghost, and when you do ask in English that He would use you, a desire will come, an unction will come, and not just an unction, there'll be a confidence to step out and let God use you. The more you pray in the Holy Ghost, when He begins to say something, the time between when you hear the unction or receive the unction and act, that time frame is going to get shorter and shorter and shorter until you live a life of obedience to these things. That's exciting. You see, to pastors like me, you're not equipped until you can do this. You're not equipped because you swept the floor, stacked chairs with us yesterday. That's needed. Works of service are needed. But that's not what it means when it says equipping the saints for works of service. The apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelical, the pastor, teacher are there to equip the saints for works of ministry, and primarily the work and the ministry of the present day ministry of Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost. Now you're equipped. Many churches haven't even begun the process of equipping people because they don't teach them these things. You've got to ask. Say, I've got to ask. Say, if I ask, I'll have desire and an unction and confidence. Number two, expect. Actively anticipate being used. You're believing, you're expecting, you're anticipating, you're hoping that He uses you. If they're not valuable to you, you won't. I was very, very fortunate. As a baby Christian in this church, and Pastor Dale Ramsey was here, he grew up under the spiritual mentorship of Jerry and Rita Henley, who always flowed in the Holy Ghost. When I got here, there was no suppression of the gifts. There was freedom in the gifts. And those of you that were here, you know what I'm talking about. You just don't realize, like I did, how blessed you were to be here in this generation. We got ministries in this region that call us a cult and call us those weird people, those tongue-talking people. They don't know what they're doing. They're crazy. They're weird. They're wild. We're just trying to be a New Testament example, amen, of what God has called us to be. And there it was, someone letting the Holy Ghost flow in the church. That's pivotal for me. Critical times like that. And so lo and behold, one day, everybody say, one day. One day, I was just sitting there worshiping God, and there was a lull in the service, and I thought my heart was going to be out of my chest. I mean, literally. And I'm like, what meaneth this? And the Holy Ghost was like, this is what meaneth this. You're going to give the tongue. I'm like, is there a second opinion up there? I mean, I'm only like a freshman. Maybe it was a sophomore. I was very, very young. I wasn't in church very long. And all I can tell you is that the unction built and built and built and built. And I knew that if I didn't do it, I was going to be disobedient. And I did not want to disappoint the heart of God at that moment. And so I did. I opened up my mouth and I gave that tongue. And whenever you first give a tongue, you're praying to Jesus. There's an interpreter there. Oh, Jesus. It was just a few seconds later that somebody gave the interpretation. But I didn't walk out of there disobedient. I walked out of there learning something. He was trying to bless the congregation and use me partially to do it. Come on, say it. They're a blessing. Shout it out. The gifts of the Spirit are part of the blessing. If you track the blessing through Scripture, you'll find out that the blessing and the Holy Ghost are synonymous. Come on, say it. They're a blessing. And you need to expect that He'll use you. Number three, you need to discern when and how the Spirit wants to use you. Discern. Say it, discern. Discern when you're feeling that prompting. And how does He want to use you? There will begin to be a pattern in how God deals with you regarding the gifts of the Spirit. And how God talks to you in general will seem to be a pattern in your life. So I ask, I expect, I discern. But it's not going to happen if you don't do number four, and that is to yield. On purpose, step out, obey every urging of the Holy Ghost. There are no manifestations without the yielding of a believer. He has chosen to use people. He's chosen to use the believer. So God can want to heal somebody in a service, in a home, in a small group, in a hospital bed, but if the believer won't step out and yield, it limits and inhibits what He does. He's a gracious God, and He tends to find somebody. But sometimes you're the only body.
That's it.
Amen? You people talk about this, and I'll wrap this up in a minute. Or maybe I'll keep you till 12 midnight. I don't know. I can't last that long, I can assure you. Are you glad that God uses people?
Yes.
Kelly and I were talking about this, that it was either someone was promoting an AIM trip, a short-term mission trip for youth, gone all over the world with the Assemblies of God missions, and RVers do the same thing, and people will take trips as churches and they go build buildings. And this individual was ragging on people, saying, you know what, you don't really accomplish anything with a short-term mission trip. You're just basically pacifying yourself. And the indictment of the spirit behind the thing, you're just trying to make yourself feel good. Well, let me tell you something. No, it's not, because it changes the people they touch and it changes the person that goes. That's what happens when your heart is filled with negativity and belligerence. You don't see that God's trying to train and teach and raise people up. And this is how he does it, in easy stages. You're not going to dump somebody in the middle of a foreign country with no knowledge, no experience, no anything, and put their toe in the water. And I can't tell you how many people have been called to full-time missions on an AIM trip. Are you here today? Just unbelievable sometimes. But let me tell you something. Jesus was on a short-term mission trip with a woman at the well. How many thank God that he met up with her? He was on a short-term mission trip with Zacchaeus. In fact, his entire missionary effort was 3 years. Those little insignificant encounters you're having, prompted by the Holy Ghost, are eternal. They matter. I said they matter. What good is it? I tell you what good is. You and I, when we got saved and we were changed, glory to God. Thank God somebody did their little short-term mission trip with us. Amen. Can I have a better amen than that?
Amen.
And that's what your life is. You should be saying tomorrow, Holy Ghost, what is my short-term mission trip today? And understand that Zacchaeus was changed forever. He walks up to Matthew, a thief, a con artist, and an enemy of the Jewish people, even though he was a Jew. And he says, come. Follow me. And what did Matthew do? Are you glad that they exist, these incidents in time, to be used by God? Every one of them are important. Amen. Glory to God. But you got to yield. You're going to ask, and when you ask, you're going to receive desire, unction, and confidence. And then when you expect, you're going to begin to see him use you, and you need to discern when he's speaking, when he's prompting, when he's urging, and then you need to make up your mind right here and now that you're going to yield from now on. Years ago, I made up my mind I was not going to suppress or quench the Holy Ghost trying to get me to do something. How many of y'all can make that same commitment? Say, I'm not going to suppress or hinder or quench the Holy Ghost in my life. And then number 5, you assess. Bible tells us when a prophecy goes forth, when a tongue interpretation goes forth, the body of Christ should what? So judge it, not in terms of a horrible person, terrible person. No, you assess it against the word of God. You assess, did you obey God? Did you do what he told you to do? Did you lay hands on that person? Did you encourage that person? Did you write that person? Did you text that person? Did you pray over that person? When God came on you, did you give that utterance? You assess it. And you may have times where you don't feel like you exactly got it right. You know, people today, if somebody prophesies and it's caught on camera and for some reason it doesn't seem to come to pass, but understand this, prophecies are not necessarily going to come to pass on your timetable anyway. So you're judging unfairly, first of all. But if somebody misses it, we're not Old Testament prophets who stand between God and man. We are operators under the gifts of the Spirit of God, and sometimes people do miss it. So you judge it, you just simply say, no. Thus saith the Lord as Joshua parted the Red Sea. You probably should just shut up. You're going to judge that as something that obviously there's something wrong with that because of content. Say content. Or spirit behind it. But by assessing it, not putting yourself down, but just simply saying, praise the Lord, I believe I did what he told me to do. And if an adjustment is needed, then make an adjustment. Amen. Is there anybody that can receive this today?
Yes.
Amen. Anybody dead I need to pray over right now? Any Eutychuses out there? I guess we can just wait until everybody leaves. And if you're still here, then we'll know. But maybe we should go ahead and jump on you right now. Every second counts. Amen. So I just want you to stand to your feet today. Say it boldly, Space Mountain does not mean I've been to space. But as you bow your heads today and hearts today, you know, things like this. Number one, get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Number two, expect to receive your prayer language when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and use it profusely. Number three, make sure you're walking in love and in integrity of heart with everyone. There won't be any power, any force, any way to any of these things unless love is actually there. And the Holy Ghost can't flow through a bitter heart. We've been taught that. But having resolved those things, how many would say with a raised hand that you want the Holy Ghost to use you? You haven't arrived, but you want to be used. That should be the cry of every heart, but he won't force you to do anything. He's often described as a gentleman. He is, but don't misunderstand how sweet and gentle he is. And say, well, it doesn't matter because he wasn't very forceful about it. That's just how he operates. But he speaks and he gives us unction and he prompts us. And there are people around you right now that need what you have on the inside of you. You ain't got nothing on. Yes, you do. You have things on the inside of you that could be a blessing to so many people. You see, if you look at Scripture, you'll find out, yeah, there were manifestations inside the prayer meetings in the house of God. There are some things that happened indoors. But if you will look carefully, you'll see that most of these operations of the gifts of the Spirit do not happen in the church doors. They happen in the real world, where people are really hurting and needing some kind of hope, some kind of supernatural influence. Thank you, my Father. Now, if that's you again, just lift your hand. As a matter of fact, just lift up both hands. Without wrath, without doubting or disputing. And just pray this simple prayer. Say, Holy Spirit, I believe the word. It is said of you that you give severally to each as you will. I do understand. This is a matter of your will. But I also understand it's a matter of my will, willing to be used. So I offer up myself today as a born again, spirit filled, child of God, walking in love and integrity of heart. I offer myself to be used of you. I ask you to use me in the manifestational gifts of the Spirit, as you will. I desire to be used. I want to be used. I'm praying to be used. And I'm looking for that expectation. I am looking for your promptings and your urging. And I believe and I declare at that moment, I'm going to yield. I'm making a decision right now to yield to every urging, every prompting of the Holy Ghost. And I will take the time to review in my heart whether I did what you said to do. I understand it's not my job to produce the results. It's my job to be the agent for the Holy Spirit. So I commit to yield to Him wherever I am. Wherever I am, I'm going to yield and leave the results to Him for the glory of God. Just like Isaiah, Holy Ghost, here am I. Send me. Use me. Speak through me. Touch through me. Heal through me. Deliver through me, use me wherever I go for the glory of God. Now come on, give him a hand clap. We thank you, Father God. We bless your holy name.